Daf Pei Hei. So let's take it to the bottom of Pei Dal Gemara Bei. It's the last six lines. The Gemara quotes Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. The Gemara says Itmar Eiver She'ein Alav Kazayis Basar B'Makum Zeh V'Yesh Alav Kazayis Basar B'Makum Acher. So let's say the area where the bone is going to be broken, there's no basar, there's no flesh, it's just straight to the bone. But in that very same limb, that same Eiver, there's basar elsewhere. So you have one limb, but where you're breaking, it's mamish right to the bone. But again, there's basar elsewhere in that particular Eiver. So Gemara says that's a machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yesh Bo Mishum Mishvirus Etzem. That is subject to the Isser. That even though we are breaking it specifically, there's no Basar, but there is Basar elsewhere on that bone. And Reish Lakish Amar Ein Bo Mishum Mishvirus Etzem. Reish Lakish felt that the breaking of the bone has to have where there's Kazayis of Basar in that very makom. And if it's not in that makom, even though it's elsewhere, that would not be subject to the Isser of Mishvirus Etzem. So Gemara asks a question. Rabbi Yochanan asks a question. Reish Lakish Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. V'etzem lo sish rubo, echad, this brisa says, echad, etzem sheish alav kazayis basar, whether the bone has a kazayis basar, v'echad etzem shein alav kazayis basar, or if even it does not have a kazayis basar, it's still an isser. So my ain alav kazayis basar, what does it mean that there's no kazayis basar on the etzem? Ilema de'ain alav kazayis basar klal, if there's no meat at all anywhere in the bone, amai yeshbo mishum mishvir's etzem, it's not subject to an isser. Shvirus Etzem, according to everybody, must have a Kazayis HaBasar. If there's no Kazayis HaBasar, everybody agrees it's mutter. The question is, so what is the situation whereby there's an Isser of Shvirus Etzem, even though there's no Kazayis HaBasar? El Alav Halchi Kamar? Is it not talking about this very case? That Echad Etzem Sheishal of Kazayis HaBasar B'makom Zeh. Whether it's a bone that has Basar in the very spot where you're breaking it, or even Echad She'ein Alav Kazayis HaBasar B'makom Zeh, but Yeshal of Kazayis HaBasar B'makom Acher. But it must be a case where there's no basar in this particular place where you're breaking it, but on that same limb elsewhere, a couple inches away, there is basar. So we see from this brisa that this supports Rabbi Yochanan that it is still subject to the Isser of Shvirus Etzem against Reish Lakish. So Amrle, the Gemara goes back on Daf Pei Hei now and says no. Halchi Kamar, this is how you read the brisa. Echad Etzem Sheyesh Alav Kazayis Basar Mibuchutz. Whether it's a bone that there's basar on the outside, or echad etzem she'ein alav kazayis basar mibachutz v'yesh alav kazayis basar mibefnim b'makom shvir. Whether or not there's basar on the outside or basar on the inside, in other words, in the moach, that's subject to the isser of shvirus etzem. There must be basar in that breaking spot, whether in the inside or the outside. But if there's no basar in that place where you break it, even though there might be basar elsewhere on that aver, that would not be subject to an isser. That's how Reish Lakish interprets his brisa. V'hatanya, the brisa, as a nichusa, says Rashi, as a raya, the brisa says as follows. V'etzem lo sisru bo, the bone can be broken, echad etzem sheish bo moach, v'echad etzem she'ein bo moach, whether or not there's a marrow or not, it's subject to the isser. So mani mekayim v'ochlos abasar b'layla hazeh. So when it says you're supposed to eat the meat, which meat are we referring to? B'basar sh'al gabeya etzem, rather, that you eat the basar that's outside the bone. Meaning, once the Torah tells me you can't break the bone to get the moach, so if you can't eat the moach inside, which meat are you eating? So the answer is obvious, but the Gemara is just setting us up. So obviously you're eating the basar that's on the outside of the bone, that's accessible. So the Gemara says, now this is the Havamina. O enu ella, maybe, what the Brisa means, b'basar sh'basoch etzem. Maybe, Taka, you can eat. When it says v'achlos abasar, maybe you can't eat the moach inside the bone. How do you get to it? So, mani mekayim ve'etzem lo sisbru bo, ve'etzem she'ein bo moach, about ve'etzem she'yesh bo moach, shover ve'ocha. Maybe the only time it's usher to break the bones is when there's no moach, there's nothing to get to. But if there's moach, there's bone marrow, you're able to access something, maybe there actually is a heter to break the bone to access the moach. Ah, don't tell me it's how you violate the iser, val titma. Sherei yavo asei v'yit chalos asei, the asei of eating the basar, karma pesach, would be able to be docha the lo sase of breaking the bone. So that's all the havamina, that the ase of eating should be docha the lo sase. Now Tosas addressed the question, not going to go through the Tosas, but he says, don't we have to have the ase docha lo sase be'inna? You're not eating the meat the moment you're breaking it. Ase docha lo sase has to be at the same exact moment. So you first break it, and then you have the ase afterwards, so he addresses that in the Tosas here. But that's not for now, what? That's not at the same time, though. You first have to break it, and then you have to eat it. So he addresses that, how to get around that problem. Either way, he says, "Ase doche lo sase." So you should be able to doche it and break the bone to get to the meat in the inside. So maybe there's a heter to break the bone if there's moach inside. So the Gemara says back, "Kishu omer ve'etzem lo sishbru yibo bepesach sheni." When it comes to the pesukim pesach sheni, the pasuk tells us it's also aser to break the bone to pesach sheni. Shein tam alomer. Why do you need to teach me that? We already know all the halachas of Pesach Rishon apply to Pesach Sheni. Sherei Kvar Nemar says kechol chukas of Pesach Yasu also. All the dinim of Pesach Rishon applies to Pesach Sheni. So why does it single out the itzer of etzem lo sisbru bo by Pesach Sheni? Have the omer to tell us echad etzem sheish bo moach ve'echad etzem shein bo moach. Whether or not there's marrow or no bone marrow here, it's usher to break it across the board. That's the din that comes out from all of this. Fine. So Gemara now says, Meisivei, asks the question. This is a mission on the base, actually. Eiver shiyotza miktsaso. Let's say you have a Karban Pesach that it leaves the makum. You can't leave the chabura, can't leave the house. We'll see exactly where the Karban Pesach can't be brought outside of, but it violates the psul yote. It's taken outside the home where it shouldn't be left. So Eiver shiyotza miktsaso, but only part of the limb now is taken outside the house, but the other part of the limb and the rest of the Pesach is still inside the house. So only that miktsas aver is pasul, but everything else is mutter inside. So the Gemara says, what do you do? So aver shiyatsa miktsasa chotech ad makom shemagil le'etem v'kolev ad shemagil le'perek v'chotech. What you do here is, you cut the basar to the bone, but you don't break the bone yet. You tear off the meat that's on the outside, and the meat that's on the inside, which is kasha, you pull in and leave it inside, and then you break the bone. So you break the bone. Why? Because once you've kind of peeled away the flesh, there's no basar on the bone anymore. Right? According to Reish Lakish, you're allowed to break the bone if there's no basar at all. So you remove, even Rabbi Yochanan, you remove all the basar, you take all the basar, so now there's no basar. Once there's no basar anymore, and assuming there's no moach here either, you could break the bone. So that's what you do. You separate the basar, put that which goes in the inside, that which goes in the outside, the bone is clear now, and then crack the bone and get rid of it. So that's the Mishnah. So Gemara says, now, V, Amis, if you're going to say, Aver she'ein alav kazayis basar bimakom zeh. If you're going to say a bone that doesn't have basar in that particular breaking point. However, yesh bimakom acher, but there is basar elsewhere, and this ein bo mishum shvias etzem. Right? This is Shitas Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish holds, if you have a bone, and there's a little area where the bone is exposed, but the rest of the bone has meat on it, you could just crack the spot where there's a bone, even though there's basar on the rest of the aver. So why have to peel all the basar off? Just make a little area where the bone is, crack the bone in half, and who cares that there's basar on the other part of the aver? It must be that we hold like Rabbi Yochanan, they have to remove all the basar from the aver before cracking it. So the Gemara says, Lamali de kolif ad shemagi leperek. Why have to peel all the basar to get to the joints, v'chotech, and then break the bone? Niklof beporta, peel off a little bit of the flesh, v'nizbara, and break it in that spot. The fact that you can't do that tells us that if there's basar anywhere on the bone, it's also to do shvirs etzem, even though where you're breaking it might be bare of any basar. So Gemara says no. Reish Lakish agrees, in theory, you're able to peel back a little bit, crack the bone in that very spot, even though there's basar elsewhere. But the two reasons in this case why he doesn't do that, why he says you should peel off all the basar. Abai Amar Mishim Pakam. When you break a bone, bone doesn't always break so neatly. It doesn't break in that spot, necessarily. It might crack the whole way down the bone and end up cracking even where there's basar, so even Reish Lakish would be have an isser in that particular case. So that's one reason why he recommends pulling the meat back, because in theory it's nice, but it's not always so practical. And second reason, Ravina Amar Bekolus. A certain part of the hand, Rashi explains, there's a lot of moach. So even though maybe you remove the basar on the outside, but there's still basar and moach in the inside, and that won't help. So just look at Rashi. Once Rashi says, but kolis is redundil. I don't know what area that is. Shel hayad, part of the hand. Sheyesh ba moach mitocha. There's moach on the inside. Lo mahani la klipa. The klipa won't be effective. So you have to remove the whole thing area where there's no, avoid the moach, and then you could break it in an area where there is no moach. That's the point he's suggesting. So what were you saying?
Otherwise, even then he wouldn't be able to break it. Meaning the moach has to be less than
a kezayit. Yeah, whatever the issue. It has to be the issue, exactly. So, but either way, he said that spot, you can't break it because there's moach there, so you peel it to an area where there is no moach, and that's the area where you're allowed to break it. Fine. So now the Gemara quotes from a Mishnah Tanan Hasam. This is a Mishnah all the way at the end of the Masechta. We already saw this a couple of days ago even. So we just discussed again the Isser breaking the bone, the spot of the where there's no basar, but there's basar elsewhere, and then this case of Yitzia, Psul Yotzer. So now the Gemara is setting us up to question, when it comes to a Karban Pesach that's Psul Yotzer, is there going to be Tumah as well? In addition to it becoming Pasul, will there be Tumah? So first we have to figure out why would there be Tumah in the first place. So look at the Gemara quoting the Mishnah. Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah at the end of the Masechta tells us, HaPigol VaNosar, we're skipping the word Tameh because that's not in the Mishnah, Mitamin Esi Adayim. If a carbon becomes pigle because the Kohen It was mefagel. He had in mind to eat this carbon or shech the carbon outside this man, outside the makom, it's din of pigel. Or to case of nosa where it's left out overnight. So these two, the chachamim made a gzeir of tumas yadayim. If a kohen touches it, so they become tamim. So that was the din. So Rav Huna, Rav Chista had a machlokas. What was the reason? What was the motivation for creating such a tuma dirabanim? Tachadamar mipnei chashde kuna. Vachadamar mipnei atle kuna. Chashde kuna, the sad reality apparently. Look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Chadamar mishum chashde kuna. Shechashudim lefagel carbon mishum eva. I'd say the coin didn't like you. He says, you know what? I'm going to be mefagel the carbon. Tough luck for you. You just lost $1,000 of a cow. I'm mefagel. I have the ability to do that. He had the wrong machshava. And because of Eva, he did that. And for that reason, gazru ala pigel, shetame es yadayim. So now they threw it back in the face of the coin. So now you're going to become tame for being mefagel. And kidei shehe zet sarach lehatpil yadav. You have to dip your hands first. Kodim shehagia bekodesh before you touch it. V'yat shichu, it's going to be a big tircha for them. And therefore, they're gozer. So now you're all one. Then wait a second. So they're more concerned with tumas yadayim than they were of pigel. Pigel's a realistic deraisa. So they're willing to do pigel, mefagel karbam, but it comes to tumah, they get all nervous. Again, unfortunately, that's the reality, because look at Tosos, who talks about even more extreme case. The Gemara in Yuma, he says, Tosos di maschum mishim chashde kahuna, vim tomar kimokain lo yachush lasos betumah. So he says, so they shouldn't be concerned with kuna. So meaning, if they're not concerned with pigel, so why should they be concerned with tumah? So maybe they'll touch it, become tamei. Who cares? Why they care about tumah and not care about pigel? So Tosfos says, Yeshomer da'af l'rishayim, even for rishayim, chamiri le'tumah. Somehow tumah, even the biggest rasha, tumah was the biggest concern of theirs. Kedamrinim b'yuma l'lamedcha. The Gemara has a ma'isa where the person was killed, and the father said, "Take my son out before he dies," because the Gemara says, "Was he concerned with shvichas damim because his son may have been murdered, or because he might mitame the base of Mikdash?" And the Gemara says, "You know why he was concerned? Shechamura lein ataras kalim yosem shvichas damim. He's more concerned with the tumah than the death of his own son." So that was somehow some warped understanding of how tumah works. People got, you know, heejee-beejees. People are not frum, but they wear like the red bendels or school and all that kind of stuff. Tumah is in that same world of like a mystical area where they're more concerned with mysticism than the actual halacha. So in the world of the Kohanim, they're very comfortable being mefagel kohen to mishum eva, but tumah is a whole other world. So there goes their tumas yadayim for chashde kuna because those are being mefagel. And the other one felt, back inside the Gemara now, the other one felt is mipnei atzle kuna, the lazy ones who were not eating the karbanos, and it turned into nosar. They said, listen, if you leave it over nosar and you touch it, you're going to become tamei. So make sure you eat up all the karban and don't let any nosar stay out overnight. So those are the two different reasons.
In the opinion of pigel, he might lie. He might actually not do pigel.
No, but he knows.
So, if he doesn't do pigel, then he doesn't get karis, but he does it by the bite that he did pigel. So then, what happens in that case? Then he's tamei. If he wouldn't do that, then he wouldn't be tamei.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, could be.
Right.
Could be.
I mean, in that case,
in theory, he could lie. But I guess if they see that he doesn't wash his hands, must be that he it wasn't actually.
Yeah, that's how they're making him wash hands, so you shouldn't lie.
Shouldn't lie?
Meaning, if he lies to the owners and he says, "Yeah, I did people," then he has to wash his hands. So, as people shouldn't lie, maybe they make him wash his hands so that it's not.
I'm not sure if it's a lie. I think the issue is because of their because of the pigle. Yeah, that's what I think so. So then the Gemara says, Mar Masaya Pigel, Mar Masaya Nosar. So,
I'm trying to defend them in the country. I'm trying to give them that they're not actually do people, that they actually, you know, they lie about the people.
But let's keep going. Then we'll ask.
Get to that point where they say, oh, I need Pigel.
Right. Yeah, they did. They're mefagel something, and they had the right to do it. They could think a certain machshava outside this mountain, and that made a Pigel. I'm not sure how often it happened, but apparently it was enough of a concern that they felt the need to make the gzeira. So Gemara then says, Masniya pigel or mar masniya nosar. One felt that this din of metamiyas daim was referring to the case of pigel, and one was referring to the case of nosar. What does that mean? Man the masniya pigel, the one who thought they were explaining the reason for pigel, mishum chashikuna, because the chashikuna is why they had to make the tumas yadayim for pigel. Uman the masniya nosar, the one who felt that the motivation was because of chashde of atzikuna rather. Was referring to nosar, b'shem atzekuna. So the reasoning line up to whether it's pigel or nosar is going to dictate what the reason was. So Gemara says, mar masa kezayis, mar masa kebeta. How much of the carbon of the nosar, how much of the carbon of the pigel is going to be metame? Machlok is kezayis ubasa obeo kebeta. Man de masa kezayis ki isura. The one who felt the shears kezayis because the iser. The iser of eating something nosar, this of eating something that's an iser, pigel is a kezayis. All iser achil, almost all, Israchilos are kezayis. But the one who taught man the masi kabeitza was referring to kedumaso. When it comes to the world of tumah, kabeitza is a shear that's matame something. So the one who focused on the iser taught the iser kazayas. The one who focused on the tumah was talking about the iser kabeitza. Okay, that's all the setup. That's the basic background of tumas yadayim by noser and pigel. So now we're setting that all up.
The kazayas kabeitza, they don't explain who's who, right?
They don't explain who's who, right? So now the Gemara sets up for the following question. Going back to psul yotze ibaylu yotze gazir rabbanan tumah alo. Now, if a karban was subject to the psul yotze, did they create a tumah tidaim there as well? Mi amrina, do we say no sar the gazu tumah dasli atzli bay? No sar is something that's subject to the laziness, and there's a motivation to be gozer tumah no sar. Aval yotze afuki bedaim lo mafki le bedaim. No one's gonna walk out with a psul with the karban. People are shavy al tasi. They say and just be lazy. So that no sar is a likely event. But for someone to go actively take the carbon outside the makom, it's not a real concern, and therefore the low gazu bei rabbanon tumah odim aloshna, or perhaps any type of laziness or any type of psul there goes there, whether it's pigel, whether it's nozar, or whether it's yotze. That's the suffix of the Gemara. So Gemara says tashma. Let's bring a raya from the Mishnah we just brought above. What's the raya? Eiver sheyatz mikatzasa chotech atzim megila etzim vekolif atzim megila parak vechotech. We said, if a part of the Aver is taken outside the makom, you tear off the basar, and you tear off the basar on the other end, and you break the bone where there's no basar left anymore. Okay. So now, v'amrs, now we're thinking from a perspective of tumah. V'amrs, gazu be'rabban on tumah. If it's true that there goes a tumah on psul yotze, ki chatech le mayhave. Even if you break the bone, what good is that? Ha'kimetami le tumah starm. The tumah starm lo metami, there's a din. When two things touch each other in an area that's concealed, tumah cannot transfer. So here the bone is touching the other bone. The aver is touching the other aver, and they're touching b'makum beis starim. So even if you broke it off now, in the end of the day, the tumah already touched each other. So I answered the question right now. I'm sorry. It should be metame, question mark. So the area should be touching each other. That's tumah, because if psul yotze is tumah and transfers to the inside, the whole thing should be tumah. It shouldn't help anymore. And the fact that we're not concerned with that tells us that psul yotze is not subject to tumah. So what Shigwar says, no, this is tumah starmi, but tumah starm lo metame. When the areas touch each other, which is an area that's concealed, tumah does not transfer in a concealed area. So since they're touching with the bones underneath the flesh, so then the din is that's not going to transfer the tumah. Okay. So the Gemara then says, again, in theory there is tumah. There is tumah by the psul yotze, by the aver, but it's not able to transfer to the rest of the body because they're touching a place that's base hastam. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. There is an opinion of Ravina who holds damer chiburi ochlin lav chiburhu kiman dimifarsi dami. So this is a little bit tricky. When you have food, even that which is physically attached, we view it as being detached. Because food is meant to be broken up and eaten and digested. So even though it's physically attached, it's considered as if they're separate parts. Now, the only time you apply base starim, if they're naturally attached to each other. If I, let's say, take two different bones that are separate and put them together, that's not called base starim. They're not naturally attached. So to even here, though they're physically attached, but since it's viewed as ochel, Ravina says we view them as already being detached, and they're detached, so then when you touch them together, where they are physically touching each other, you would actually transfer tumah. Again, it's a little tricky. But imagine you have two bones that are separate from each other. And you put them together and they're touching now a base starm, it's concealed. That's not called base starm because they're not naturally with each other. So Ravina took it one step further. Even that which is physically attached, but in the end is going to be broken because it's food, we view them as being physically detached. And now they're touching each other as if they're reattached in an unnatural way, and the tumah can transfer. We won't apply a base starm. That's the chiddush of Ravina. So in this case, we view them as touching each other in not based arm. And the tumah should transfer from the psul yotze, should transfer to the carbon that's on the inside.
So using lechumra, not lekula. This is normally lekula, and now they're using it lechumra. Not this,
I'm not sure. Every case is a kul and a chumra. So this would be an example of a chumra. So he says, Ravina, damar chibure ochlin lav chiburu, that when you have things touching each other, it's not called a chibur. Ukeman the mefarsi dami, as if they're broken up, but now they're touching each other, so it should be a transfer. So Gemara said, aren't they now touching each other? And should that not transfer the tumah? El Gemara says, how do you explain this? Why is the tumah not transferring? Again, we're assuming right now that there is tumah by psul yotze. So why does the tumah not transfer to the inside of the carbon pesach? The man demase kazayis, the lesbe kazayis. The one who says tumah is only present if there's a kazayis abasar, you have to be mokum in this case where there's not a kazayis abasar by the aver of the yotze. And the man, the master kibetza, you have to assume the last bay kibetza, and that's how you get around the problem. But had there been a kazayas or kibetza, respectively, there would have been tumah, and the tumah would have transferred if you assume that there is psul, yotze has a din of tumah. So either way, it's not conclusive. So the Gemara brings another rack.
We're assuming over here that this was two bones that were two bones attached that stuck out. If it was one bone that stuck out and half of it was out and half of it was in, that would make the whole thing tumah?
I assume so. I assume this is at the joints. That's my guess. I'm not sure. So then the Gemara says, Tashma hamotzi basar pesach michabur lechabura. So let's say a person takes out a karen pesach from one group, one chabur in one corner, to another chabur in the other corner of the room. Afal pishu below sase tahor. Even though it's an iser deraisa to remove the karen pesach from your chabura and to bring it to another chabura, it remains tahor. So my laf tahor v'aser diyotzi michabur lechabura. Kiyotze, so does it not mean that when you move from one chabura to another chabura, even though there's an isser of yotze and it remains tahor, kiyotze in a similar way, chutz from the chitaso, dami, umafsil, vafil hachi, katani tahor. It's no different than taking a karen pesach outside the house, which is a more severe type of yotze. There's psul yotze from chabura to chabura, and there's psul yotze leaving the entire house, and we'll see more about that in just a moment. So just like chabura to chabura is an isser deraisa, but it remains tahor, so too, leaving the house, although there's an issue to take it outside the house, it still remains tahor. So Alma, we see from this, lo gazu rabbanan tumah, they were not gozer tumah. Gemara says, no. Lo tahor umutter, diyotze michabura chabura, lav kiyotze chutz l'michitaso damu. Velo mafsil. So the Gemara says, it's not true. It's mutter, actually, to go from chabura the chabura. It's not like leaving the mechita, like leaving Yushalayim or leaving the house, and it's not possible in that way. But doesn't Gemara say v'ha'katani seifa ha'ochlo ha'reza below saseh? But doesn't it say one who eats it, if you left from chabur to chabura, it is subject to an iser? How do you say there's no iser here? So the Gemara says bishum alman damar kebeta disbe kazayis v'lesbe kebeta. So I understand if you hold that you need a shir kebeta. The reason why this case is tahor is because it doesn't have the shir kebeta for tumah. But there's an iser because it has a shear of kazayas. So kazayas is always a shear of an iser, and kibetz is a shear of tumah. But Elaman Damar, the one who thinks that even the shear tumah in this case is kazayas, Mayak Lamemra, how are you going to have a case where there's an iser and there's a tahar only? Ella, it must be as follows. Biyoti bepesach lo mi ba'ilan delo gazu berabon tumah. When it comes to the Karim Pesach, there is no iser psul yote. Why not? My taima. Bnei Chabura Zrizenhein, Umizar Zaharbe. They were very, very careful when it came to the Karban Pesach. People were very, very particular. Rashi writes, the last Rashi here, Zrizenhein, Sheyesh Rabin, many people were eating Chabura, big groups of people. Umizar Zenzadzer Melahotzi, they're all careful of each other. There's no real concern by Karban Pesach. So that's why the Karban Pesach, Psul Yotze, is irrelevant. When we had the question was, however, when were we questioning? Elaki Kamibailan, Vyotze, Bekotshim Mai. The question we really had is there psul yotze by kachim, will that generate a tumah or not? My teku. So again, there is an iser to take psul yotze. There's iser psul yotze by karim pesach by the kabanos. The question was whether there's also an iser, whether there's a tumah as well. There's no tumah by pesach. There's no need to add that motivation. There's no need for that. The karim pesach already had this inner motivation of zrizus. It was only by other kachim where you didn't have these chaburas, where individuals were eating them, there wasn't the zrizus. Maybe they had to add the level of tumah in case it was a psul yotze, and to that the Gemara answers, take it, we have no answer for this particular shayla. Okay. So now the Gemara says, last three words on the Amud here, Motzi Basar Pesach, we mentioned earlier, the person takes out the karim pesach, mechabur lechabura, minayin. Where is the source? How do you know in the Torah you can't take a chabur in one corner of the room to another chabur in the other corner of the room? Where is the iser? So Gemara says, the Tanya says in the Pasuk, Lo sotzi min abayis min abasar chutzah. Don't take from the basar the Karim Pesach. This is Parshas Bo. Don't take it outside the house. So Gemara says, Ein li ela mi bayis l'bayis. I only know you can't take it from your house to another house. But where do you see mechabur l'chabur minayin? Even in the same house, to do different chaburas would be usher. Gemara says, minayin tamalomer chutzah chutzlach ilasa. The extra word chutzah, it could have said, Lo sotzi min abayis and min abasar. Period. Don't take it outside. What's the added word chutzah? Don't even take it outside a chabura to a chabura. This is the basis for the iser hotzah when it comes to psul yotze of karim pesach. Now, hotzah sounds like the melach of hotzah on Shabbos, right? Just iser psul yotze. There's no real connection, but it's amazing. This Gemara. The Gemara is now about to equate the iser of hotzah on Shabbos to the iser hotzah about the karim pesach. How so? So Gemara says four lines down. Amar Rabbi Ami Hamotzi Basar Pesach Mechabur Lechabura Eino chayv ad shi'aniach hotza, until you do an akira and hanacha. We know by Shabbos you need an akira and you need a hanacha. For Karim Pesach you need an akira and a hanacha. That's an incredible chiddush of the Gemara. Ksiv be kishabbos, ma Shabbos ad de'avid akira v'hanacha, af hachanami ad de'avid akira v'hanacha. That's an incredible chiddush. I remember I didn't have a chance to look into this, but Minchas Chinuch tries to extend to other halachas of hotza. How far do we make this equation? I don't remember all the dinim, but he does talk about how far do we take this connection of Hotzah of Shabbos to that of the connection of Hotzah by the Karban Pesach. So the Gemara asks the question. Mesiv Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal, how you solve the Nosav Bimotos, how Motos. So the way it worked was the Parma Nesrafim, certain types of Karbanos, and Rashi lists them, that Par Visarim Akipurim, and the Par Helm Davar, Parim Kor Mashiach, all these things, after you perform the various avodas in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to actually take them outside the Beis HaMikdash to burn them. And the din was, the Mishnah Yuma tells us, that when you leave the walls of Yerushalayim, you become tamei. The ones carrying them become tamei. That's the din. So the Gemara now points out, asks the question, Mesiv Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal, how you solve the Nosan Bimotos, they're carrying the dead cow, the dead goats on these poles, two people in the front, two people in the back, and they're schlepping them to the place where they burn it. And the Gemara says, HaRishon, when the first people Yatsu, the first people in the front carrying it, they leave Chutz L'Chomas Azar, when they leave the Azar, so then they are tamei. The Achronim Lo Yatsu, and the people in the back have not yet left, the Dinis, HaRishonim Metamin Begadim, the ones carrying in the front who already exited the Beis HaMikdash, their clothing's Tamei. The Achronim, the ones who are still inside the Azara, Ein Metamin Begadim. Behalo Nach, but wait a second, isn't this a Yotze? Right, the Din is, it's a Psul Hotza. It's just supposed to do this, so it's once it's a Yitzir, so there's a Din of Tumah. But the din is only when there's a hanacha. There's a hanacha here. You need akira and hanacha, but they're busy carrying it on the shoulders. So the Gemara says, "Humosiv lavu mefarikle." He asks the question. He answers the question. Benigrarin, where they're dragging it on the ground. The Gemara is dragging the ground. That's a hanacha. That's the chiddush. So the Gemara really takes it pretty far. Rashi says, "Benigrarin agabe akarka dik hanacha." That's considered placing down on the ground. Tosis points out here, Nigrarin, he says, Omeri lav dafka, doesn't mean Nigrarin, mamish dragging on the ground. Elishu toch gimel karka, it's within three tvachim of the ground. We know many places in Shas, within three tvachim is considered a hanacha. The afil rabbanan, the Rabbi Kiva, the lesle kluta. We machlokas, when you throw something through an area, so if it's an area, Rabbi Kiva felt, if it passes the Rishis Yachid, it's as if it was munach in the Rishis Yachid. Rabbanan say, no, it's 20 feet in the air. That's not hun chadamya. So even Rabbanan who argue in Rabbi Kiva and don't hold to this din of kluta, kamoshu nachu damya, bizark b'mavir, toch gimel mode. If it's within three tfachim on the ground, even the chacham will agree that's considered hunach dami. So Tosu says, nigram doesn't mean mamish dragging, it means within three tfachim of the ground. So we see again, the Gemara itself, and Tosu by extension, really take this din pretty far of the equation of Hotzah by Shabbos to Hotzah of Karim Pesach and Hotzah of other dinim of Kachim. Fine. Now the new Mishnah on Amud Beis teaches us. Aver Shiyatza, we saw this Mishnah quoted twice in Amud Aleph. Now here's the actual Mishnah. Aver Shiyatza Miktasa Chotech Ad Shemegil Etzem V'Kolif Ad Shemegil LaPerek V'Chotech. So again, what that meant is, if part of the Aver was left out, so you rip off the skin that's on the outside, you pull back the skin that's on the inside, and then you crack the bone and break it, and that which is outside, you just throw it in the garbage. So the Gemara then says, that's all by the Karim Pesach. But Muktashim Kotetz V'Kofetz, you could cut it with a saw, whatever you need, a knife, just slice it. You don't have to pull back any basar by other Muktashim. She'ein bo mishum mishviyat etzim, because we know the breaking of the bone is something unique to the Karim Pesach. It doesn't apply at all to other Mukdashim. Now, the Indian of Etzim, by the way, is more of a Indian of Machshava, the connection to Karim Pesach. There are a lot of connections to Karim Pesach, but one thing just to think about is the Pesach, the Li Mitzrayim, and Kriyas Yamsuf was Atzmos Yosef, which led us out of Mitzrayim. That's one element. There are a lot of connection to the bones. One of the Haftorahs we read on the Pesach is about the dry bones, Atzmos Yevashim. The dry bones come back to life, about Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim is a big in, and so the Atzamos, the bones in the ground, are Tchias HaMesim. That's why we read Tchias Tal on Pesach, because Tval Gemara says Tal is what brings back Tchias HaMesim. It's Tal Eoros, it brings about the bones up to life. So the lack of connection of bones when it comes to Pesach, so that's what the Indian of Achshava, why you can't break the bone of a Karim Pesach. Something interesting just to keep in mind. Okay, now the Mishnah says, Mina Agaf V'lefnim Kilefnim, from the doorway and inside is considered inside. Mina agaf ulachutz, from the outside of the doorway is kilachutz. We haven't described, the Gemara is going to describe the doorway itself. But inside the doorway is considered bifnim. Outside the doorway is considered outside. Hachalonos v'ove achoma, the windows and the thickness of the walls are kilachutz, that's considered inside. So you have walls, and the walls of Yerushalayim, and you're in the windows inside the walls themselves, that's considered inside. So that's the din in terms of Yotze. But outside the walls, or outside the doorway, that's considered outside. Inside is considered inside. So the Gemara says, just like we have that din when it comes to Psul Yotze, all these different qualifications, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, V'chein L'Tfilah. Same is true when it comes to Tfilah. What about Tfilah is the same? So if you look at Rashi, two narrow lines down in Rashi, or rather two narrow lines up in Rashi, he says, V'chein L'Tfilah, Ha'omed min ha'agaf v'lefnim mitstarf le'asara. So this had been very relevant the past year. People trying to make different minyanim. You can't walk on people's properties inside, outside, up in the Zara here. And this is Nashim. You have 9 people downstairs, 1 guy upstairs. So the din is, you have to be inside the doorway to count as 10. If a guy is up here, number 10, it actually doesn't count. It's a different room. You have to be inside the doorway to count as 10 people. That's what Rashi, how he interprets this particular din. Tosus takes the issue. Tosus writes from many places, a few different Gemaras, that Rashi thinks is wrong. It's not true. It's not the issue here. He says the question here is whether or not you could answer to an Amen or Yeheshmei Rab or Kedusha when you're outside the room. So let's say you have 10 guys in the shul, but the guy standing up in the Esses Nashim or a different doorway, is that considered, are you allowed to answer? That was what the Gemara was saying. So if you're inside the doorway, you can answer. If you're outside the doorway, you cannot answer. That's what the Gemara's understanding is of this Shitas Rav. Comes along now, Pliga de Rabbi Shub ben Levi. Rabbi Shub ben Levi argues on this. Damar Rabbi Shub ben Levi, afil mechita shel barzel ein mafsekes ben yisrael la'avim shebishmaim. Even a brass wall will not get in the way of Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klai Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu, which means if a guy is standing in the doorway, outside the doorway, he certainly can participate, whether it's in terms of being mitzvahed according to Rashi, or whether it means he could answer according to Tosos, that certainly will not stand in the way of a person. That's a big machlokas between Rav, Rabbi Shub ben Levi. So now the Gemara is medayik, Hagufa Kasha. Let's look at this Mishnah. There's a contradiction, an internal contradiction to this Mishnah. You have two opposite inferences to make from this Mishnah. Hagufa Kasha Amris, we said, Mina Agaf Lefnim Kilefnim, from inside the doorway, that's considered inside, but that implication is, Ha Agav Atma, but the doorway itself is considered Kilechotz, that's considered outside. So the guy stands in the doorway itself, you're considered outside the minyan. Ema Seifa. But the Seifa had the opposite. Mina Agaf Vilechotz, if you're outside the doorway, Kilchutz, you're considered outside. But Ha-Gah-Agav Atzma, the actual doorway, Kilchutz, you're considered inside. So how do you define the doorway itself? Is that considered inside or outside when it comes to the base of Mikdash, it comes to the Azara? So the Gemara says, Lakasha, there is no contradiction. They're talking about two different types of walls, two different types of gates. Kan Bishari Azara, Kan Bishari Yushalayim. One's referring to the gates of the Azara, one's referring to the gates of Yushalayim. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes three wide lines down, Shari Yushalayim Agav Atzmo Kilchutz Shlonis Kadesh Ovyon. That the gates of Yushalayim are considered outside. If you were in the gateway, in the doorway itself, you're considered outside. There were never Niskadesh, the thickness of Yushalayim. Only inside Yushalayim were the Niskadesh. As opposed to Shari Azara, Niskadesh Ovyon, Bekadushas Azara, the thickness of the walls were actually Niskadesh by the Azara. Chutz Mishar Niknar, except for Shar Niknar. Why Shar Niknar? We'll see in the Gemara as well, but we'll read it here in Rashi first. Shar Niknar was the one of the gates of the entrance ways. The Shar Niknar had a special name based on the Mishnah Yuma, Homais, that happened with that gate. But the Shar Niknar, it was not Niskadesh. Mipnei Sham Mitzora Sha'omid Sham Ba'oda Mechusar Kippurim, Umachnis Misham Bahonus Le'azara. There's like a catch-22 here. The Mitzora has to become Tower. So he needs to go into the base of the Mikdash to become Tower. Problem is, so long as he's Tamei, he can't enter to the base of Mikdash. So how do you become the Tower if you can't get to the base of Mikdash? So Shar Nikdar remained Tower, where he's able to stand there and put his thumbs in, so he could put the blood and oil in his thumbs to make him Tower, but that's not considered a full entrance into the base of Mikdash. So that's the din. So the Gemara is going to prove how all the Azaras were Niskadesh, the Shari Azara, Shari Azara, except for Shar Nikdar. That was the one that was not Niskadesh. As the Gemara says, Damer Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Mimnei Malo Niskadshu Shari Yushalayim. Why were the gates of Yushalayim not Niskadesh? Mimnei Shemitzoran Maginim Tachteim Bechama Mipnei Achama Ubekshama Mipnei Akshamim. Now the Mitzoran were outside Yushalayim. They couldn't be in Yushalayim. They were tummy. They had to go outside three machnas. So they're outside of Yushalayim. But what happened? It rained. What happened? It got very sunny. They had no place to go get shade. So they're able to stand underneath the gates of Yushalayim. That was protection. So they were not Niskadesh the Shari Yushalayim, but they were Niskadesh the Shari Azara. So the Gemara says further, and the Amar Rabbi Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak, Mipnei Madlo Niskadesh Shar Niknur, why Dafka Shar Niknur was not Niskadesh, but all other Shari Azara were Niskadesh? Mipnei Shemitzaram, as I said before in Rashi, that's where they're able to stand, to stick their thumbs in, to go through the process of Tara. So let's quickly do a recap here. We start with the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Ish Lakish, and the Bama Pei Dalam and Beis, about Eiver She'ein Lo Basar in the Makom of Shvira. But there's Basar on the other part of that bone. Rabbi Ish Lakish felt that that's Mutter. All we care about is Makom Shvira. But Rabbi Yochanan felt it's still Asar because there's still Basar on that bone. So the Gemara went through back and forth who was right. It went through some Brises, went through some Mishnayos, and were able to satisfy both opinions without any answer. And then the Gemara quoted the Mishnah about the Pigal and Nosa create Tumos Yadayim, either because of Atle Kona, or because of Chashe Kuna, Machlokas, whether it's good about the Shir Kazayas, or Shir Kabetza, and the Gemara used that as a springboard to discuss, is there Tuma by Psul Yotze or not? And that was the question Gemara tried to bring a Raya. Base Starim is not Matame, but maybe this case is different. Maybe it was less than Shir Kazayas, less than Shir Kabetza, wasn't able to transfer the Tuma. And then the Gemara went through another discussion about Psul Yotze, if Chabur to Chabur, where it's Tower, can you use that as a model to Psul Yotze, if the bias is also maybe Tower? Gemara says, you can't ask a question. Gemara concluded that there's definitely no Psul Tuma by Yotze of Pesach, because people have reason. The only question was if there's Tuma by Psul Yotze of other Kachim, to which Gemara concluded that's simply a Teku. Then the Gemara says, what's the source of Motzi Chabur Chabura mi bias the bias? The Gemara quoted the Pasuk, Lo Seitze, Sotzi min abayis min abasar chuta. That was the source of the Isser Yotze of Chabur to Chabura, and from the bias. And then the Gemara equated the Psul Yotze of Pesach to that of Shabbos. You need Akira and a Hanacha. And then the question of carrying the Nisra from outside where you're dragging on the floor was also, that was the Hanacha. And then the Mishnah about the Aver, where you rip off the skin, you break it. By Kachem, you can just slice it because no Issa Shriat Etzim. And then the area of standing in the doorway outside versus inside. And the Gemara equated that to Tefillah and went back and forth. And the end of the day, Sharia Yushlaim are not Niskadesh, and Shari Azara are Niskadesh, with the exception of Shar Nikner. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day, and Mirtz Hashem will continue tomorrow, the same schedule, I guess, 7 o'clock, followed by...